Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And Isaac from Resolute Man, together pursuing the mission to impact 10 million families and their legacies for the kingdom of God.
We've been married for 23 years and are seeing the fruit from raising our 9 children biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children, as too many from Christian families are walking away from their faith by the age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way.
We're praising the Lord that the ministry continues to expand and impact more legacies. We couldn't do this without you, whether you pray for us, give us 5-star reviews, or share on social.
Or even if you purchase courses and merch or join the Be Courageous App community, enjoy the coffee or support financially. We're so thankful you are a big part of the 10 Million Legacies movement.
If you want access to all the episodes, show notes, and other biblically-based resources, go to BeCourageousMinistry.org.
Join us as we start another important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
We're so glad you're here.
We are talking about a really interesting topic today. Last week, our podcast episode was on the topic of, hey, proximity-wise, evaluating where you live. Are you in the location that God wants you to be in, right? And yeah. If not, here's some tips on that evaluation process.
Things to consider. And then This week, we're talking about the potentiality of a nationwide blackout. I know people listen from All over the world, but this has to do with anywhere, really, Although we will speak to the U.S. a little bit. And This isn't any kind of conspiracy theory or anything like that. What we're more going to talk about is data points that we look at. I think, if we were talking about this 10 years ago, we wouldn't talk about this 10 years ago, right? Because The data points wouldn't be there. It would be more of a conspiracy because there isn't real information there.
Right. But now you have many different people in higher positions that have been talking about it. And I'm sure people have seen some things out there, even in the media or in the news with different anchors, like I think of Tucker Carlson, for example. He's talked about the potentiality of this happening and interviewed interesting people on this topic. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But before we get started, we are so thankful for you guys. And we wanted to just say thank you for joining us here on the podcast. We love being able to do this every week. This particular topic may seem a little Isaac and Angie, why are you talking about this idea of a blackout? Well, this is a parenting podcast. Yeah. And so as parents,
courageous parenting.
As parents, yes, and it's courageous parenting. So we're going to talk about topics that maybe other people aren't willing to talk about. That doesn't mean that they don't think about it and talk about it amongst their neighbors or their close friends. This is obviously a topic that I think a lot of people are considering and having conversations about when they get together for dinner, for example. But as Christians and as parents, what is our jurisdiction, right? And so we want to bring relevant topics to you guys to stir up good, lively conversations, to encourage you in the word, to encourage you in what you're doing as you're raising kids in these unprecedented times. And so thanks for joining us. Thanks for giving us reviews, for the stars on Apple or wherever you're listening on the podcast. It means so much.
It means so much. All show notes and resources at BeCourageousMinistry.org. Don't forget, we're on YouTube. And when you subscribe, it helps the channel be able to unlock some other tools that'll be important for expanding the ministry and double impact this year. So go to YouTube and subscribe. Also go to BeCourageousMinistry.org and get the show notes and all the details. CourageousParenting.com directly if you want the show notes for the show.
So guys, okay, we're going to start and open up with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So you can join me there if you have your Bibles. We're going to read verse 1 through 10. And one of the reasons why we like this passage of scripture, there are many passages of scripture. We've shared a lot of them with you in previous podcasts when we've talked about like, when is civil disobedience biblical? And when we talked about issues surrounding COVID and different things, right?
The misunderstanding of Romans 13, a lot of Christians have.
Yeah, in Romans 14. And there's a lot of scriptures that we have dove into over the last 5 years as we've been doing this podcast. And obviously, this is just one of many where God's word exhorts us saying, hey, the days are evil and you don't know necessarily when the end is coming, but be prepared.
Yeah. And we have a jurisdiction to you equip our families, protect our families, provide for our families. Mm-hmm. So this is within our jurisdiction of parenting, this podcast episode. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Okay?
It's an important passage of scripture.
Sober-mindedness is important. We were talking about sober-mindedness this morning, weren't we?
Yeah,
we were. And it's the clarity of thought based on being in the Word. It's mm-hmm. it's not letting our mind go off into ditches, into conspiracy mm-hmm. theories and things like that, mm-hmm. but to stay within a biblical road and to hold our thoughts captive seems to go with, you know, being sober-minded.
Well, you know, I think that one of the jobs of all Christians when we are taking responsibility for the actions that we as Christians need to take and reading the Word, right? I think of do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind, right? Romans 12:2, that very infamous passage. There's also scriptures that, like you said, challenge us to take our thoughts captive under the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we have a responsibility as Christians to filter what kind of information we take in, whether that's through conversations with other people, media, news, newspapers, whatever, right? We have a responsibility to filter that through a biblical worldview and a biblical lens. And so this topic of a potential blackout happening, that could lead a lot of people to have anxiety, to struggle with fear or overwhelm. There may be people out there going, I don't have a bunch of extra money to do things like get a solar panel, for example, yeah. right? And that leaves people in a place, Isaac, especially moms, of feeling a little helpless and going, hold on a second. I need to take that thought captive and be anchored in the Word. This is not a for sure thing that's going to be happening right now, you know, to have perspective, to take those thoughts captive.
I think it is important. And just remember, I mean, how do you prepare for all these things? I mean, there might be a few people out there that are really prepared, but I think most of us, including us, mm-hmm. Do some what we can. But I do believe awareness equals preparedness. Mm-hmm. And even if there's no actions you're able to take mm-hmm. right now, having awareness in your mind, I've already thought through some mm-hmm. of this. If this or something like this were to happen, you're already more prepared because it's not a surprise. And mm-hmm. that's really important. It's like we're pre-framing our minds for the potentiality of something that's logical now, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you know what it reminds me of? Another really hard topic that parents should be aware of and think about. I'm just going to say it. Sex trafficking, child kidnapping mm-hmm. is a real legitimate thing that happens in the world. I'm sure that you guys wouldn't deny that, right? Like I even think of Sound of Freedom as a documentary that was out there put out by Tim Ballard and other organizations that rescue children from this. This is a true reality. This is the depravity of humanity. These evil things happen. Now, does that mean it's going to necessarily happen to your kids? No. I mean, most likely, statistically, your children will not experience that, right? However, is it wise as a parent to have a conversation ahead of time with your kids and teach them about stranger danger? Right. I remember having these conversations when we were in school, when we were kids. Right. Mm-hmm. What do you do in a situation like that? What about preparing kids with fire drills, stop, drop, roll? I remember like there are things that as parents, we teach our kids. If there's a house fire, this is what we're going to do. If there's a flat tire, we get in a car accident. This is what we're going to do. There's a reason why you go through learning. For example, mm-hmm. a DMV book, mm-hmm. and you read it and you're prepared and you take a test before you're given the license to actually legally be driving. It's so you're prepared for things and so that you are able to kind of, you know, you're driving as a citizen and obeying rules and regulations mm-hmm. and other people are too. And there's not chaos like in countries where there aren't rules
right.
when it comes to driving, right?
Yeah.
And so today, why am I using these as examples? Because talking about something like a blackout where you may be thinking, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen even in my lifetime or not, right? Is it a good, wise thing to at least have a conversation about, hey, if something happens and the electrical grid goes out, how are you going to get home if you're not at home?
So we'll get into these practical things in just a minute. And so good. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we're to operate in complete trust of God and not operate in fear. We've never been fear-based in what we teach at all, but we are to also operate in wisdom. We're living in a fallen world. We have an all-powerful God, but there are things that happen in this world. We see it happening that are not, they're not, it's not God. God doesn't do anything evil. He's only good, right? So there's challenges that happen in this world. And so as parents, we have an extra jurisdiction actually to take care of those God has entrusted us with.
And I even think of like the fentanyl crisis that's happening in the country, right? Like we had this conversation with our kids. If you see something that looks like a piece of candy, do not touch it. Do not pick it up, right? I mean, that's being a wise parent. And so here we are as parents bringing up another topic that we think should be talked about as Christians.
On that one, a toddler just died from fentanyl somewhere just by touching it. So it's so important. They're disguising it in different things. It is warfare, by the way.
Right.
From what I can tell, China is helping or supplying to Mexico. It's getting smuggled up through our country, open borders by Biden. So Biden, Mexico, China, complicit together. There I said it. Okay.
Okay, so back to our main topic. I mean, obviously that verse in Isaiah, you guys, that was Isaiah 41:10 that Isaac just read to you. For those of you who are struggling with fear, that for me, that verse is an incredibly encouraging verse. It brings it back to perspective. So obviously throughout this whole podcast, we want to be grounded in the word. We want to encourage you guys to have a biblical perspective on the world and on humanity and what could happen. Yes, there are terrorists all over this world. There are people who want to see harm and destruction happen. And it's an unfortunate thing, but it's the reality of the human mind when they have been tempted by selfish gain and deceived by the enemy.
And right here in Proverbs, and we'll get into the practical here, 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. So we are to walk in wisdom. And so we're to pay attention to what's happening. But you know what? As we were just talking about evil, you know what's starting to happen? And we'll get into this in a second, but is when evil increases, the non-believers that used to not believe in evil, they can't help but see evil now. Therefore, if evil exists, if they come to that rationale, then there must be good that exists too. Or at least it leaves the opportunity more open than maybe it used to with them to understand if good exists, like a pure good, an almighty God kind of good. So evangelism can be so exciting right now, actually. On God's the Redeemer, right? And so as these challenges happen, as the days grow darker in some senses, also the light's growing stronger and the contrast is greater. And non-believers will start to notice that even more. Fertile ground for you to share the gospel with them. So that's kind of cool. I thought I would just pipe in a little good news right there.
Yeah, no, I love it because no matter what the topic is that you're talking about, if you're talking about a blackout or you're talking about sex trafficking or you're talking about drugs getting smuggled, any of those things, like I just even think of, you know, sending a teenage daughter. I mean, our girls are a little bit older, but, you know, as a young mom, sending them to the grocery store. And if it's at night, like what are the things that we taught them, right? We taught them don't ever park next to a van that has no windows. Never, you know, pay attention to your car. Look underneath your car as you're walking towards it. Keep your eyes open. Don't be looking at your phone when you're walking in a parking lot. Make sure that no one is following you because we have experienced being followed. I have, along with a daughter before.
You've been an example in having someone escort you to your car.
Right, insisting upon an escort when you have kind of that gut, bad, funny feeling. And I'm telling you, you guys, this is something, this is just being wise and having a realistic biblical perspective on humanity in a fallen world, understanding that we're here, not having just automatic trust and a kind of a fluffy feeling when you're walking through the world, but being eyes open, being sober minded about that and really owning I need to train my kids so that they're prepared for this world because it's going to continue to get worse. And so I bring this up to you guys because it's actually what you just shared was the gospel. And we, as we're talking about any of these topics, need to have an eternity perspective, right? Like we are only here for a short period of time. And really, in all of these things, our main concern should always, whether we have electricity or not, be sharing the gospel.
You know, it's interesting, Adith. That's so good. I had a thought while you're doing that, is that when we don't have an eternal perspective, we hold on to our time on earth so tightly, it turns into fear. It turns into anxiety.
Or our kids. We hang on to our kids so tightly.
It becomes hard to talk about these things. It becomes hard to think these things. Mm-hmm. I just can't handle it. I want to put my head under the pillow. Well, maybe you're holding too tightly to this world. See, I don't. I mean, in the span of my existence, it's like a blip in a span of eternity with God. The time on earth, I want to do it well. I'm motivated, but why? Because I want to glorify God. I don't want to live in fear. I want to live in the power of God, right? Mm-hmm. That he has, and relying on his power, not my own strength. And I think the more we're operating in our own strength, the more we're holding tightly our time in this world, the more anxiety we have. So let's let go so that we can fully be surrendered to God. And the more we're in that posture, we can hear things like this, be more prepared, be practical about it, but not overwhelmed by it.
Not overwhelmed. And I want to add something. Don't make an idol out of it. I have seen some people who are so consumed with focusing on these different topics that they aren't balanced. And it's literally like what they live for every day, where they're creating even a lifestyle. And listen, we have a homestead. Having a homestead's not a bad thing. That lifestyle's rad. I love it. But there,
I'm going to play that back to her in about 2 months when she's got a big garden.
When I'm exhausted. No, but can I just say, I think we got to really watch out for making an idol out of or finding our hope in being prepared. That's not our heart. You guys, like, our hope should always be in the Lord. I want to remind you of what Psalm 20 verse 7 says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Guys, listen, as we're talking about, like, oh yeah, there's a potentiality for this, just as like there is an issue with drugs of fentanyl right now in where we are, right? These are realities that are happening, but you shouldn't be thinking about them and dwelling on them, because that would mean that you've made it an idol or you're operating in fear. Yeah, maybe you do a little bit of preparing. I mean, we do, I would say we're pretty conservative in that. We're not foolish. Like, I don't like the idea of having to feed 9 people or 11 people and only have enough for a week. That's not wise, right? Like, I've never operated 5 months,
but it's mostly just oatmeal and beans.
Right. Like, it's just, but we've never operated that way. It's also too expensive to operate in a way where you're buying food on a weekly basis. And so when we say things like, yeah, it might be a good idea to have a year's worth of food, like, that's not actually, that might overwhelm some people. Don't let it overwhelm you. Pick a few things that you can do good at, but don't put your trust in those things either. Like, if that just makes you feel better, then you're like, and you're checking things off the list and you're like, okay, I'm all good, I'm prepared. Well, and then you find out you have cancer. Like, hello, what lesson do we have to learn in this? Let's not make life on earth an idol and find our hope in the things.
Now, the things you can do that are smart to do, were in the last episode talking about church proximity, relationships with neighbors. These kinds of things are so important. Mm-hmm. But let's dive into what is this nationwide blackout thing and the potential of this. You know, I was looking at this 3 years ago, a little more closely 2 years ago. I saw that the WEF put something out about the potentiality of a blackout and so forth. So we'll get into that in a second. So this has been a long time thinking about once in a while and paying attention to when I hear little blurbs out there from different talking heads and so forth, and good ones. I didn't mean that in a negative sense. And so there's something called, this has been in the news recently, high altitude electromagnetic pulse. Okay. That is when a nuclear weapon is fired off 30 kilometers or higher in space above the earth, or, you know, with a country below it, that causes all an EMP effectively to take out everything that uses electricity. So it's not just that electricity doesn't work anymore, it's that anything that used it for the most part will be wiped out and not capable of working even if electricity comes back on. So it's because it breaks the device. So that is something that has been in the news recently. A certain actor in the world is said to have this new capabilities of this. I don't really put a lot of stock in that because it's mainstream news talking about it, but the actual thing is something.
The technology
is something that is becoming, countries are becoming capable of. And you know what's interesting about that? When you hear nuclear weapon, usually you think of this huge bomb going off and causing devastation. One of the challenges of that, see, if you're a really bad actor and you don't care about human life, you say you don't care about death, but what they do care about is the reputation and what happens after that, right? That's one of the reasons bombs don't go off like that, is because they know retaliations can happen quickly. The uniqueness of this, though, to take out an adversary, is that it doesn't cause any loss of life. There is no explosion on the land. It is literally causing an EMP wave to take out the electrical grid, and then they could say, we didn't do it.
Steve and I realized that we were getting too comfortable with the world's vision of how to raise our children.
What Angie and Isaac have done in creating this is literally phenomenal.
This program provided awesome scripture-based teachings and just some really great practical applications.
This class has just really rocked my world.
It has given me a vision for not just the different things that we might focus on as parents who are trying to raise our kids biblically, like how our kids are behaving or what we're doing with discipline, but also the things of the heart.
We now have a game plan to how we want to raise our children. We have so many answers to the questions that have been in our mind.
It's not just these hypothetical situations, or it's not just this, here's what I think you should do. It's, let me show you where in scripture this is.
Do your legacy a favor and yourself a favor and just do it.
One of the best things that we've done this year, one of the best investments we've made this year, and I could not recommend it more.
We're no longer fearing dark days ahead, but we're so excited to raise lights to be leaders for the next generation.
So,
I mean, to be fair, it does take out any life that's dependent upon electricity. There is that element, right? Like hospitals.
I think you know what I meant, though.
Yeah.
There's not a bomb exploding.
Explosion. Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. I thought you might want to know that. Mm-hmm. And that capability, it's no wonder that Trump started Star Wars when he was in office, and people were laughing at him about it, but it is becoming an essential thing.
Did you literally just call it Star Wars?
It's not Star Wars, Space Force.
I love it.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Space Force. It's kind of like the same thing.
We're going to have to let Solomon listen to the podcast.
We will. So, or maybe just part of it.
Yeah.
Then there's also, so we're talking about, you know, how this potentially could happen, right? Because people are talking about this. There's data points really showing this. Mm-hmm. Then there's the deep state. There's evil, whoever they are, right? You can see, you know, pieces of it out there potentially. Purposeful disruption, right? They want to cause disruption, not because necessarily the United States or another country is an adversary, but because they need it nullified. And they need to make sure they keep their leaders in power to further the 2030 agenda or whatever their agenda is, okay? So if someone comes in like a conservative president in the United States, that would usurp all of their momentum potentially in plans in the strongest nation in the world. They have to nullify the United States to further those plans. If you just look at the data points and these different motivations and things they actually mm-hmm. say. So let's look back for a second. Do you want to talk about COVID for a second, Ange?
Yeah, I mean, think back to before COVID hit. Nobody saw it coming, first of all. None of us. The whole world was duped. I'm just going to say it. and there was ramifications of different things, consequences, if you will, from that pandemic that also took the world by storm. I think of how the whole world was schooling at home, not to be confused with homeschooling. The whole world was schooling at home during the shelter in place. That was not something that was on people's radar, right? Mm-hmm. Closures of multiple things, businesses completely being wiped mm-hmm. out and having to close. Thinking of storefronts and not being able to actually have patrons come in and have that exchange of product, right? There were so many aspects. Even think of the hospitals. Hospitals became, I'm just going to say it, a lot of people stopped trusting the medical field and stopped trusting hospitals because there were so many people that were dying with the remdesivir and the different ventilators and all the different things. There was just
the protocols.
There was a whole lot of distrust And there was a force of compliance and obedience.
So, and one of the things, just if you look at history for a second, so you had COVID, then you had fear, and you had enough fear to okay changing the voting laws in America pretty fast. So
well,
mail-in voting,
distracted
right? And people were distracted.
Pandemic.
So they got voting laws in, and then they suppressed free speech. Right. We now know this. It's all come out now. Right. Massively suppressed free speech. And then there was a U.S. election. OK, you can decide what you will about that. I have my opinion for sure. You probably know what it is. But it's but you see what happened right there. A powerful disruption to cause the agenda to happen. Now, you could say there's spiritual warfare happening. You could say these are demonic forces controlling people in situations to further the enemy's end goal for Earth, right? Mm-hmm. You could say that, but there's people making their own decisions, causing these things to happen. Let's just look at that same example for a second. Mm-hmm. The World Economic Forum, or WEF, in 2019 did a COVID, they predicted COVID would happen in 2019, and they did scenarios. And those scenarios they ran became a reality in 2020. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting as you just look, go back and look at the information. Some of it's hard to find now. But back then, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I was looking at it. And 2 years ago, I was looking at it even more. Because then the next thing that WEF has predicted is a cyber pandemic. And a cyber pandemic, they believe, is inevitable. Well, they use that same word for the 2019 COVID prediction that happened in 2020. So they say this thing is inevitable, and a lot of their blogs recently are saying in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. However, some of their information has been scrubbed that I saw 2.5 years ago, it appears. I can't find the same information. But Candace Owens, when I was looking at this, Candace Owens did a great little discussion about this, and she gave a warning to everybody, props to her. And she said that the WEF has written on their site that they that this is inevitable, this cyber pandemic, and they're going to need to sanitize the internet because there's going to be a bug, a digital bug that goes and corrupts devices in the internet and spreads at rapid fire throughout the whole world. And the only way to get rid of the bug to save the internet is to sanitize the internet. The only way you can do that is you have to shut down the internet. The only way you can shut down the internet is you have to shut down the power grid first. So these things have already happened out there in communist countries where they want to control what's happening in an election. They shut down the power to get control of the internet and shut down the internet. So these things have happened out there. So to see that prediction, to see the trend, I'm not saying for sure it's going to happen, but there is motivation. And you have to put yourself in the shoes of these bad actors, as terrible as that sounds. It's something I do sometimes. I'm like, okay, if I was thinking all these ways, what would the timeline be? When would be good timing?
I mean, here we are in 2024. This is an election year, again, of one of the most powerful countries in the world, one of the strongest economies in the world, and it has been for many, many years. And they, if they want their goal of a one world digital currency, for example, we know that they have to paralyze and disable the American economy. And part of that is this year, the election year, this is a big year for that, because if they get someone conservative in, it's going to thwart and disable, potentially slow down their evil plans. I
which
mean, we
they,
view them as evil.
Which they only have 6 more years for, the agenda.
I mean, according to their goal,
if you look
right?
it up,
yeah.
And depopulation, all these goals they have.
Here's the thing. You know, the other thing that I think is important is to realize that like this 2030, you mentioned 2030, and I think that most people now realize that that's not a conspiracy theory, because there have been so many world leaders, like I think of Trudeau in Canada, also the prime minister in Australia. There have been people that have spoken.
If somebody called it a conspiracy theory, they would literally be lying. Yes. It'd be like having a blue crown or crayon and you're saying it's red. That's how.
No,
they
are
fact.
Completely unapologetic and very vocal about their desire for 2030. And so for people to like, but years ago, whenever people would talk about that, they would say, oh, it was a conspiracy theory. Then all of a sudden you have world leaders saying from their microphone on television that they are a part of this, you know, and they're working with the WEF, which you guys can look on their website. Go to the, it's WEF, forum.org, and you can read their articles. They're very unapologetic about a lot of this stuff.
And some of it comes across now more than ever, very polished and like, oh, we're just trying to get world leaders, you know, thinking through these things because they potentially could happen. That's more of the, but some of the older stuff was very much, and if you really want to see some of the interviews on YouTube of Klaus Schwab, you can see him saying some outlandish things, and he's the leader of it. Okay. Yeah. So we have the HEMP, H-E-M-P, high altitude electromagnetic pulse potentiality of a bad actor nations. And then you have purposeful disruption by the deep state, cooperation with the WEF, potentially, whatever that is.
And motivation being an election year here.
In an election year. And that's the one that I actually think might be most likely. And then there's natural disasters. Interesting, Dennis Quaid was just on Tucker Carlson talking about.
Oh, yeah, the sun flares, right?
Yeah. So yeah. He's just been talking about this for a long time. And who knows when that would happen. But there's this thing that is interesting. He was talking about when the advanced technology was the telegram.
You guys can go and look up that interview. It's a whole hour long interview. Yeah.
So he was talking about the telegram and how a solar flare actually knocked out that system in America.
The telegraph. Yep. Yeah, telegraph abilities, yes.
And so it did happen. It happened way back then. Yeah. And, you know, our electrical grid in the U.S., probably many parts of the world, are just fraught with, you know, lack of being updated to the current level. I was doing a little research for this episode, and it looks like the U.S., it was mostly put in the 60s and 70s, and there's been upgrades, of course. But then you have states, you know, and the states have to cooperate with each other, and just the way things are going with states and all the things, you know, to really trust the government to have a handle on this thing. When they can't even close the border.
And they don't want to, which, you know, I just also want to bring up, I mean, obviously there are people out there that are constantly bringing attention to what is happening with border crossing. But I mean, people are fleeing Texas, actually, because of how unsafe it has become, and other states as well. And
come on over to Idaho.
You know, it's just it's a sad, sad situation. The sheer amount of drugs that have come across, but it's not just that. It's all that our taxpayer money is going to give illegal immigrants the right to be citizens and to be voting. I mean, they literally just changed the demographics massively in the United States for this next election because, you know, obviously they're not going to be able to take the election the way that they did last time. So they're going about it in an archaic way by bringing in a bunch of terrorists. So
like 7 million, they
7.2 million is projected, right? Which, you know,
that have already come in.
I saw it's an interesting perspective. Someone had brought up that, you know, probably the smaller population states, but that could be even equivalent to 36 of the states in the union, which is it's a huge amount of people that have come in. Yeah. In just the last 4 years.
So, hey, there's ways that could happen. We hope it doesn't happen, may not happen at all, but the motivation for it to happen in recent time here is high, I would say. And there's a lot of talk about it. So here's, if that ever happens, things to have in your head. And there's some things you can do that cost no money right now. It's just using your tongue, communicating with your family, making a plan, right? Here's some info. If a blackout happens in one day, if the electricity is off for 24 hours, by the way, think about the last time your electricity was off. It was for like maybe max 8 hours, unless you're in like a hurricane or earthquake situation. I think the longest I've ever remembered is like 8 hours, you know, in my life.
Actually, the longest that we had, you were out of town, and it was the kids and I when the transformer exploded, and then they couldn't get to us because of the live wires. Situation. And, yeah, so we were out of electricity for 3 days.
3 days, okay. Yeah. So, but just, it was just right here. So, but one day, the goal is everybody's home safe, right? So if you have older kids driving around, things like that, your goal is everybody's back home. If EMP went off, though, those cars wouldn't work. So we've had conversations because we live out in the country and our older kids drive 30 minutes in. You know, that 30-minute drive is now a whole day hike. So, and potentially if something really happened in the world, maybe a dangerous hike. And the goal would be is that they get home as fast as possible because the more time goes on, the more desperate people get. So it's really important. In fact, it's even important depending on what's going on and you won't be able to communicate with your kids, right? Phones won't work, things like that. So if you haven't talked about this in advance, you have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing and you both have no idea. And so you're kind of frantic, right? So if you're not all together and this happens, hopefully you've communicated a plan. We've communicated some plans. We need to do more, but to also have friends that maybe live closer in the city that your kids could go to that are trustworthy in the meantime until
just like a safe house.
Until you know, me and another dad can go and extract the kid in town and that kind of thing. So it's really important to think about that. So one day is pretty important. Be home safe, you know, have a communication plan, things like that. Mm-hmm. 3 days in a lot of places, I don't know if you knew this, there's no more food in the grocery stores. There's no more water, bottled water anywhere to be found. These kinds of things. So 3 days, you know, think about how many people don't have access to water if they can't turn their tap on or can't buy it in the store. Mm-hmm. Boom. That's the big deal. The big deal is water. And so you have to think about that. You know, how are you going to get your water? And then it becomes dangerous to get water because water becomes the most valuable resource that exists in the land. And so even going down to the river and then having a filter and things like that, you're going to need to protect yourself to do that. Unfortunately, we have to talk about this, right? So 3 days, you know, hard to get food, things like that. How much of the population now doesn't have food and water 3 days in? And let's say this thing goes a week. Probably at least a week if they're trying to sanitize the internet or something like that. Who knows, right? I think if it happens, it's all going to come back on. But there will be a goal in the process of doing it, right? So let's say 1 week. That's a serious challenge. Water, food is an issue, and security becomes a really big issue because now people are looking for it in nefarious ways. The people that did not prepare in any way or not Christians, they're going to go get it no matter what. And even if some of them are believers, it's going to be challenging, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really important to be thinking through those things. Mm-hmm. Now, let's lighten this up a little bit. Okay, so you have a scripture for us in Jeremiah, right?
Oh, we actually already read it.
Oh, did you read it?
Yes, yep, we read it. Jeremiah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, so here's some fun thoughts. Let's look at the positive side of this. I thought we would end it with something positive, which is, well, it doesn't matter how much money you don't have or have, because none of our money works.
That's true. Yeah, good
point. You're like, Isaac, that's not funny. Well, of course, if you have gold or silver or something like that, I suppose that could work. But how are you going to trade gold?
Are people going to want that, though?
I hear junk silver is like the way to go on that, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I've had some of that before. You know, what other fun thoughts?
Well, kids would be like, woohoo, I'm out of school. There's more important things to do. We got to.
You know, if you listen to our last podcast and you made sure you're going to church locally, this will apply to you.
Yeah.
You'll have candlelight church service every week.
Oh, I love candlelight church services. They're my favorite.
You know what? Your neighbors will actually need each other.
That's right. You'll get to know people. That's for sure. You know, I think that there is a real light side to this. The simplicity of life, for sure. I think all of us will be kind of surprised in a good way how much more time we have with our loved ones. And it's not going to be all like panic and mayhem. Like there can be some really sweet times. Like even when I think back to the 3 days when we didn't have electricity and we actually kept doing school because we homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And that was a benefit, right? My poor kids, they had to keep learning. Oh, bum, bum. But I say that though, because there were some special times where we sat around and we played board games. You know, there was no technology. So there was no like temptation to just sit and watch a movie or anything like that. It was more like, hey, we're going to talk.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out together. We're going to play games. We're going to find other ways to be productive when it comes to, you know, making food and different things. You know, if you don't have electricity, you better have some good tools on hand that are non-electric dependent, right? So, you know, pull out the old potato masher and like not the electric mixer, you know? And so then you're gonna look at your task ahead of you and go, either I can stand here for 2 hours or we can work as a team. And then you find out that it's actually really fun and not a hard thing to get some of those kids in the kitchen working with you. I mean, it could be good for a lot of people actually to be living a little more simply. And I think that there is something we need to recognize too. Guys, listen, our great grandpas and our great grandmas, they did a whole lot without electricity and they were just fine. And so even though we become dependent upon things, there's an element of really recognizing how much of an idol or a dependency have I made out of things like electricity. And it's okay to be reminded that those things are not eternal.
Or driving somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, right. If all everything gets
knocked
out.
Yeah. You know, Isaac, you were right here. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 is a real encouragement. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For it its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Guys, remember, at the end of the day, what are we here for? We're here to know God and make him known.
Yeah.
We are here to, for the Great Commission. It is all about Jesus Christ. It is about discipling our kids, loving them well, leading their hearts, and constantly going to the Lord for wisdom and guidance. And we need to be like trees that are planted by the water, that when there is a drought, when hard things happen, we still are bearing good, godly fruit that then is a light to the neighbors. It's a light to other people. And they go, wow, that's how much you love God. I want to know this God. Yeah. So at the end of the day, we need any opportunity. We need that where bad things happen, guys, when there's valleys, when there's things that change and maybe disrupt our normal life, they are all actually opportunities for us to glorify God. And it tests us and shows us where we have made idols out of things. It tests us and shows us where we need to depend on God more, where we need to have more faith and less dependency on ourselves. And, you know, I think that this could end up being something that is really sanctifying and refining for people in a godly way.
So we so appreciate you joining us. If you love this episode, please share it. Mm-hmm. I think it's good, solid information and biblical perspectives on something. We wouldn't do it unless we felt like everybody needs to be aware, at least aware, not in fear, but aware in confidence in their Lord. And that's trusting the Lord.
So see you guys next time. Thanks for joining us. Hey, thanks for listening and being a part of the 10 Million Legacies movement. Go to BeCourageousMinistry.org for more biblically based resources, ways to switch where you spend your money that support the mission, and information about the incredible Be Courageous app community for believers.
Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program.
Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video session with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program. We cover everything from tending to their hearts, handling obedience, to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private group in the Be Courageous app, live webcasts, and direct access to us.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at BeCourageousMinistry.org. That's BeCourageousMinistry.org.